Hello and welcome to Money Mastery and Financial Planning, a podcast for women with your host, Rebecca Robertson. We're going to be focusing on maximising your money, creating wealth and empowering financial success. For more information about us, head over to our website, www.rebeccarobertsonevo.co.uk. Enjoy.
Well, welcome, ladies. Thank you for joining us for this What Does Wealth Mean to You series. And today I have with me the lovely Jen Hall. And when I said this event was coming up in our group, a lot of people said, oh, wow, I love Jen, which I thought was really nice to hear when you get that kind of feedback. It's always nice.
Really lovely. That's really nice.
Yeah. So let me do my intro. Yeah, well, exactly. So you were referred to me from the lovely Jessica Lawmar. And it's all about reaching out to women that maybe I haven't spoken to before. I'm really glad that I have spoken to you now, that maybe I haven't met before. So we can create this sort of community or message around women's wealth. I feel like it's the things that we don't talk about need to be spoken about. This money mindset is such a big buzzword at the moment. But what we're not doing is that we're not doing it as part of a normal day every conversation. So then, therefore, the real shifts and changes aren't going to really happen as quickly as we want it if we don't make it part of our everyday life, which is why I started the group in the first place. So thank you for contributing to my community. So Jen Hall is a business positioning coach and market leadership expert for service-based businesses, coaches and experts who want to become unrivaled market leaders. Jen has grown an adventure travel company from startup, which is amazing, to becoming a market leading turnover £1 million business in less than 8 months in 2019. Jen has worked with over 100 businesses, both new and established, to position themselves as a number one choice in the market and help brand new coaches and consultants achieve more between £2,500 and £36,000 per client in less than a month. Jen gets you to clear on how you are going to articulate your unique value and concentrate concrete USPs to market the position you as a irrefutable choice of your higher value prospects. He's a multi award winning speaker, podcast host, best-selling author of Expert Unrivaled. Jenny's fierce mission to remove the wall between you and the wildly successful, because she believes that we all have the ability to reach those heights. Wonderful. Is also featured on BBC One Wales, Thrive Global, YFS, I don't know what that is.
I always forget what it stands for. Young, Free and Super, I can't remember what it is. For young entrepreneurs, anyway.
Fabulous. And Psychologist Magazine. So that was quite a mouthful for me on a Monday. So my first
in the morning.
but I haven't done much today so far. I've got dressed and fed the kids, so that's a start. But amazing journey that you've been in. So from a financial perspective, I'm sure, as I find with a lot of business owners, their journey when it comes to wealth is quite unique and quite different, in the fact that, you know, they've worked hard for it, they've had to push their mindset, they've had to look at what all their struggles are, put their stories aside and move through boundaries and climb walls, mountains, if you like. I think more than most, doesn't matter if you're employed or self-employed, in many respects we all have these different challenges. So the Wealth series is just a couple of questions where you've agreed to answer those questions for me and share some of your knowledge. And I hope we don't go up too much of a tangent, and I won't take up too much of your time today. But I know how busy, particularly even with COVID-19, I know how busy you are at the moment. And I really respect people's time, because time is money. So the first question, Jen, is what does wealth mean to you?
Oh, okay. So wealth to me is... For me, is the ability to create money to open up my choices in life. Because obviously, you know, whilst I believe that, you know, wealth isn't all about the money, I absolutely do believe that the ability to create it will absolutely open up a wealth of opportunities that you may not be possible without it. So I do believe that, you know, having control over that and being able to create money out of nothing is a skill that will open up so many doors. So in a nutshell, that's what I truly believe that wealth is for me.
Amazing. And so what have you felt that you maybe you've come up against if going from, you know, a smaller business, working your way up to a turnover of £1 million business? I think you can really share some amazing insights for women that will be striving to achieve the same things. And I often ask the question, why? Why do you want that in the first place? Because we can have, I know for me that I strove to do certain things, win awards and do a TEDx talk, because I was always trying to prove myself to myself. We all have different motivations, although I didn't realize it at the time that's what I was doing. And what have you learned through that journey from, you know, and that scale of turnover and hopefully earnings as well?
Well, I've been an entrepreneur now since I was 19 with a lot of failed businesses under my belt. So I just want to put it out there. It's not sitting in ivory tower. I've got it right first time. Bish, bash, bosh. Here we are. I've been through my own lengthy journey of making mistakes, doing things wrong, which all adds to my toolkit now as to what not to do in business. It's always handy. And then obviously being able to pass those on, and then obviously finding the strategies and the things that actually do work for you. But I think in terms of if we're talking, you know, about the journey from going from £20 an hour at the kitchen table, which is how it started as a business coach.
Wow.
You know, to, for instance, running a one-off session this afternoon for £1,500. Yeah. It's the biggest piece of me, you know, picking up on what you said around, you know, always having to try and prove yourself to yourself. I actually think that mindset around feeling like the expert and feeling like you know what you're talking about is critical to being able to charge what you want, to being able to earn what you're worth. And all of those things, that's been the biggest piece of, you know, of the puzzle for me, was really understanding the value that I bring to the table and the return on investment that other people get once they invest in me, and really seeing that for yourself. Because, you know, one of the things in a nutshell, that amazing introduction you just gave me, in a nutshell, I help successful entrepreneurs become market leaders. But in order to do that, we have to articulate how, you know, the value that we bring, the category of one status, why our business is better than any other business out there, why what we bring to the table is unique, but also a unique benefit to the people we serve.
Yeah.
In order to be able to articulate that, we do have to prove it to ourselves. We do have to understand the value of what we bring, and have the ability to package that up in a way that perfectly articulates it to them so that they see the value in it. Because it's great, because that's kind of the first stage, isn't it? Proving it to yourself. And then the next stage is proving it to other people. It's not about justifying it, but it's about speaking with absolute precision about why you are the first choice, why you are the best choice for them to, you know, to work with, so that you can achieve that. And you can do that in a myriad of ways.
Dropped my webcam, so those are listening back, or look, I'm just
going to
try and pick up my webcam. It's come down the other side of my
no worries. I'll carry on.
Just carry on. I'll try and sort that out.
But absolutely.
How and funny.
It's about those stages in business of, and that can be for both your personal brand, by the way, and also for a more of a business brand, because obviously I've got the experience of having both, which is great. So I, you know, I know what it's like to have that great personal brand, but I also know what it's like to have that business brand as well. And so being able to articulate in both respects, and sometimes actually removing yourself and packaging and extracting what you know and creating products can really help to strengthen that. Oh, wow, look what I've just created. Otherwise, we're constantly attaching money and how much we earn to our self-worth. And that's not what it's about. How much you earn and what you are worth is nothing to do with anything. And I think when we get caught up in that, and that's something that I had to learn big time, was to start removing that. Because every time I didn't hit the money goal that I wanted to put, that I put out there, or a launch that I put out there failed, it would cripple me inside, and I'd have this real mindset clash where I'd be like, oh God, this feels utterly awful, and I'm not worthy, I'm not enough, this isn't, I thought I was worth more than that, nobody wants me, and you start making it about me. And it's not at all. And that's why actually, by extracting it, having that business brand, productizing, extracting what you know and putting it into these packages and products and services that you're able to kind of detach, you can have a much more unbiased view on it, where you can have a decent conversation with yourself to say, have I articulated that right? Is this the product that people want? So that you can start to earn that money without getting yourself involved in the situation. And it makes it so much easier. So that's one of the biggest things that's really helped me, is actually separating myself out from the business to enable myself to fail without feeling awful, and to actually move forward and create that wealth.
Amazing. So you're really talking about being quite robust then, really. You're talking about regardless of the outcome, I'm okay because I know I'm good.
Basically. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I know what I know, and I know what I give is valuable. Whether it sells or not, it hasn't got anything to do with my self-worth or what I know. It's the fact that I just didn't get the language right this time. The messaging didn't hit, the angle.
Right.
The niche perhaps wasn't quite right. The person who I'm selling it to, perhaps I didn't overcome the objections that they have. There are so many other cogs to the situation when it comes to selling your services and positioning yourself as that number one.
Yeah.
That we don't always see, and we instantly bring it back to, oh, well, it was me. I didn't do it right. And it's like, no, that's not true. We just haven't thought of everything yet. And we fail forward, and you've got to keep pushing forward.
Yeah, and I can relate to so much of that. And so when it's come from you having from a personal income perspective, so just talking about your personal finances now, maybe if you're happy to, talking about that from a, going from possibly, paying yourself very little by the sounds of it, and going to potentially paying yourself quite high figures. If you've got a £1 million turnover business, I'd say you should be, should be earning at least six figures from that.
Yeah.
I'd hope to say, if you've got that much hard work, because it's not easy.
Absolutely.
then I'd hope to think you're paying yourself six figures. That's the other thing. A lot of people start to talk about how much the turnover is, but it's actually what you're really earning. So from going from being, paying yourself very little, kitchen table type of scenario, which is fine, by the way, in terms of if that's where anyone is.
Exactly, absolutely.
I work from my kitchen table this morning, so
I'm still working. I don't even have a kitchen table. I've got we're currently looking to extend the kitchen, so now I have
disappeared
corner. Yeah. Yes. So I've downgraded, if anything.
Yeah. But and then going from a really good salary, I mean, you'd struggle to sort of to earn similar, probably employed, if really you sort of outgrown any in future employed role, I imagine. So how has that sort of affected your money mindset when it's come to your personal wealth, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, okay, so I don't mind sharing at all, and I'll be completely honest, because I think a lot of people resonate with this. So I am, and in fact, both me and my partner are awful. We're avid spenders, so we're like, brilliant, we've got all this money, we'll spend, and that's what it was like. And I fortunately have fear. He doesn't have any fear, it seems, when it comes to money. But although I'm a spender, I then have the guilt after spending. And then I'm like, oh no, and now we need to like tighten everything up. And I go through this kind of like flow pattern of spending and holding it back spending. And we did this for quite some time, even before we hit that £1 million turnover mark. When we started to make some serious six figure money, we would, it's exciting. It's like, wow, okay, we've learned the art of doing this. But it's dangerous giving somebody in those mindsets a lot of money, because, the danger is that it all disappears. And we started to find that it didn't matter how much we earned, it was slipping through the holes in the bucket. And so we really realized quite quickly, fortunately, that we can't continue along those lines of doing that, because, you know, we need to keep it for safety, for both personal and for business. We wanted a buffer for, you know, should things happen, should the things that are working fine at the minute not, have we got backups and all of that kind of thing. And also investment is really key for us, because whilst we're, you know, making hay whilst the sun shines, it's really important, I think, and I'm sure you agree, to ensure that you've got that backup plan of the future and ensuring that you're investing into that future. You know, because we, as much as I absolutely adore what I do, and I personally don't think I'll ever stop working fully, I certainly want to be taking a step back at some point. And so investing for the future is really important. So one of the things that we put in place when we started to have this realization was the pot principle. I don't know, there are so many, I think so many different people use, do you use this?
Yes, I do. I talk about, I've got a course called the Money Management course. It's called the Money Makeover course. It's actually a 6-week course that's in my, it's free at the moment, in my membership. And in there, I talk about spending values, and I talk, there's different ways, people have different psychologies, there's systems that people sort of say that are their systems, that they apply it. But generally, you'd have 50% of your outgoings on necessities, and then you, the rest of the 50% you would put into 10% categories.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we did. We created those buckets of, okay, so we want to start investing in stocks and shares, that this money will go towards that bucket to invest in that way. You know, at the time we were looking to buy a house, so we were like, this amount of money will go into the deposit. And obviously, as our priorities changed and as certain goals became realized, those buckets change as well. Because, you know, a lot, we wanted a house, we wanted it now. So it was like, okay, so we're going to put this much into invest in it, to invest, but we're going to put this amount into it to create a deposit rather quickly. And now that balance has shifted back again. So we're not putting into a deposit bucket anymore because we've got the house and that's all lovely. So now we're putting more into the investment bucket. And obviously, as our income grows, that percentage becomes, you know, the percentage becomes bigger, but the actual amounts of that percentage become a lot bigger. But yeah, so that's kind of the biggest thing that
you've systemized your money, really.
Yes.
You've applied the logic that you would in a business to your personal money as much as you do your business money is in terms of running a business. And a lot of women are a bit scared of figures. Do you think that that's something that you've got used to, or is it something that you've sort of realized you've had to get a handle of it as the figures got bigger, or you realized that it was part of the success model that you had to get good with figures?
I think, to be honest, it's still a journey that I'm on. It's certainly not my forte in terms of, you know, the journey that I'm on. I'm still learning every single day around that. But it definitely forces you, you know, the bigger your business becomes, the more responsibility you have and the bigger the problems that could potentially arise. You know, when, you know, I've got the two businesses, and so the adventure travel business, as you can imagine, whilst we're fortunate enough to be in a position where we're market leading, and therefore, you know, we've just bought in just over 230K so far this month for a campaign, which is fantastic. It's one of those things that we're always looking at the horizon. The more people we have on board, this pandemic affects those people. So we're now looking towards the autumn and praying, obviously, that this pandemic lifts a bit and allows people to travel and get out there. But at the same time, we have to forward plan, because if we only had 3 or 4 clients going out, then, you know, it's an easy impact to deal with. We wouldn't have as much money, but we can sort of work around those people. But when you're talking 300 as a minimum per season, you know, that's when the problems become bigger. That's where the monetary impact gets bigger, because as your business grows, as we were talking about just before we started this, actually, you know, you're hiring more people on your team, you've got more overheads, you've got bigger things to think about. And so you have to forward plan, you've got to forecast, you're forced to start having to get your head out of the sand, which is where both of our heads were at the very beginning of this business, just going la 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 la, everything will be fine, we'll just focus on making money, we don't have to worry about forward planning, to actually going, no, there are people that rely on us, we have a business to protect. We've got, you know, we've got a reputation now we have to keep. We've got to keep improving that.
More responsibility, right?
So much responsibility. And don't get me
wrong. You delegate that. Do you sort of, delegate the figures? I mean, apart from an accountant, because that's sort of quite a, only like maybe 10% of the actual job, really. Do you delegate that, or do you do a lot of the figure work yourself?
We delegate it to an extent, but we like to keep a really close eye on the figures to know where we're at, because it's always that balance of ensuring that we're still taking entrepreneurial risks, because I truly believe that's what's got us to where we're at is through taking risk. You don't risk anything, you risk everything. But we also need to have, we delegate that level-headedness for someone, as another devil's advocate, as another ear, to say, this is the forecast, this is where you're at. And then from that, we can look and go, where are the gaps? Where do we need to start filling those? Because that's what we're good at as business owners, is looking, okay, so here's the gap. This is what we forecasted. How can we grow? How can we fill that and make that, like you say, more robust, so that it becomes future proof? So partially we delegate, and then we don't like to fully delegate, because I think it's important as a business owner to have your eye on it. Absolutely.
So what does semi-retirement look like for you, or like making a more choice, if you like, in business?
That's an interesting one. Like I said, I find it very difficult to imagine myself retired. It's extremely semi-retirement for me is about, you know, having that recurring income and ensuring that we delegated as much of the business off that it can run without us.
Right.
It's a possibility that we may sell it in the future, who knows, depending on how valuable it becomes. I don't know, we're both reluctant to that, but we're building it as if we are, and that's another piece of advice I give to people, is build your business as if you are going to sell it, even if you're not, because it makes it valuable, it makes it robust, it ensures
that's creating an asset. And that's one of my issues with a lot of business owners, is that they create a business that they can't actually sell. It's not, you know, because if, for example, your coaching business will be a lot harder for you to sell because it's you, then it would be your travel business. You're building a real asset within your travel business. So if you talk about wealth creation, that's a real issue. And just so that, because we're sort of coming towards the end now, I've got 5 or 6 more minutes, and I just wanted to talk to you about what top tips you would give people from general. So in our group, we've got employed and self-employed, and they're women that generally want to strive to earn more and do more with their life. It, like you say, not associating their earnings or turnover or sales to their worth, but they are very much around wanting to achieve more in life and having a comfortable retirement and leave a legacy for their children and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Going from what you've learned, where you're now in a position where you can reality really put some weight behind that and really have those aspirations that some of us dream of, you're at a point where you can go, okay, actually, let's make this happen. We are at we've not won the lottery, but you have sort of got that sort of checkbook in place where you can make some more serious decisions. What top tips would you give women when it comes to their personal finances and possibly their business finances? Almost like if you were talking to yourself 10 years ago, 20 years ago, what advice would you be giving them that you wish you'd used 20 odd years ago?
So on a personal front, I wish I'd started sooner. I wish I'd stuck my head out of the sand and actually looked up and gone, I want to ensure that I am investing into those pots a lot earlier, because that happens, you know, you can grow so quickly and you can grow your investments very quickly, but we're all a bit manual. I'll wait till I'm earning a bit more until I start investing, and I'll wait until that, and you keep waiting. And personally, we haven't left it too late, but I think we've left a lot of money on the table because we didn't do that sooner. And so I wish we got a grip on our finances, managed it better, and started to put money aside, no matter how little, from the very word go, because we would be in a better situation. Like I said earlier about the percentages, you know, it's a percentage of what you're earning right now. Great, put whatever you can afford aside, and then as your business grows, that pot becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And so yeah, I wish I'd done that sooner. From a business perspective, the biggest piece of advice is anyone can make money. All you need is a great offer and the right eyeballs. But if you're looking to amplify that, so looking to grow on year on year, so if we look at the adventure travel business, we've grown 700% in four years, which is huge growth. And we make more money now than we did in a first year, obviously. But the reason we did that is because of our positioning within the market, and we really had big ambition. The more you strive for that market leadership category of one status in your business, the quicker you can achieve that, the more money you will make on any strategy you put out there. And that's how you continue to grow your business. If you stay in the same position in the market and you just keep trying the same things over and over, which may make you some money, but look at your figures year on year. If they're not growing, if they're stagnating or even dipping, it's because you need to start focusing on your business, not necessarily the sales. How can you position yourself as that market leader? How can you differentiate yourself? How can you position yourself as that go-to person in your field, so that your name, you know, business name really starts to become that thing that when people say, who, you know, where do I go to for this? Oh, you need to be here. That's what you want to start happening. And that's where you need to focus if you want to really grow the numbers in your business.
Those people, so if I was listening to this, and I'm going to say a business owner, we do have employed and self-employed in our group, but there are women that are going from employed to want to transition into running a business as well. Or they're employed and they want to do some extra stuff on the side. They might be working from home quite a lot at the moment, for example. Not that if they've got children, they've got any spare time potentially, but you talked at the beginning that one of the key things is that having the confidence in what you're delivering. Now, for a lot of women, they, and that's the key in terms of what you charge, how much you receive. And I think also energetically, when you're putting out the right vibes, not going too woo-woo, but you don't really need to even go woo-woo with it. It's just common human nature. People pick up on it. So if you're like, oh yeah, please, desperate, or you know, this would be really good for you, but take it or leave it, you know, not bothered if you're not, then that sends the wrong messages.
Absolutely.
Whereas if you're like, this is, look, I'm an expert in my field, this is what I charge, this is how I can help you, I'm happy, if it's not for you, that's fine, but give me a shout if you need anything. Those different things send different energies out in terms of, you know, and how confident you are will depend on really how many sales you make, depending on that energy. Mm-hmm. So if they are just starting out and they are learning the ropes and they are fearing failure, mm-hmm. You put the two together and you have procrastination coming out of your earlobes, and then they're not making decisions and they're not moving forward. So what sort of two or three top tips would you give those women that you're saying, well, to achieve great success, you've got to do X, but you've really got to overcome many, many, possibly for some, brick walls that feel quite high, mm-hmm. to overcome to reach that success? What things would you be suggesting to them?
Well, first, just going to remind everyone what I said, productize, extract your services from yourself. So you're not constantly feeling like you're holding the weight of the world on your shoulders. Extract it, productize it, and really treat it as a business from the word go. I would absolutely start treating your business as if it's bigger than it is at the minute. And in terms of procrastination and getting over that, overcoming the fear, I am a massive fan of feel the fear and do it anyway. I famously put down a deposit on the Ritz for a book launch before I'd written a word of my book. I am a serious procrastinator, and I know exactly what it feels like to feel inferior, to feel like I'm not the expert, and I've been through all of that journey. Mm. But the best way I've managed to overcome procrastination is accountability. If you can put money on it, great, because it really holds you accountable, and that's what I did for the book launch. But also, you know, doing things like hiring a coach that will make sure that you do the things that you need to do. If you're not in a position to hire a coach, then public accountability. Start stating your goals, saying what you're going to do, and let other people, and the fact that you've told people about it, hold you accountable to keep you moving. But also remember that we are our own worst enemies. We are our biggest critics. And a lot of the time, we don't see, well, in fact, all of the time, we never see the true value of what we have, because it's second nature to us. We've already been there and done it. And we don't see the value that we bring to the table because it's become the norm. So let that be a reminder. Whenever you start to undervalue yourself, remind yourself that of where you were. Yeah. And how far you've come.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're further ahead than the people you serve, and therefore you can absolutely add value to them. You know,
amazing.
We're always learning. I don't know everything, and you never will. It's accepting that, I think.
And I love the fact that, you know, you've got a million pound business, and you come across, as I'm sure you did 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and you've seemed very, really grounded. I see a lot of people where their net worth, oh, their assets start to increase, so does their ego. And I must say, Jen, I think you just seem very grounded in your approach, so that's lovely to see.
Oh, bless you, thank you.
So if people wanted to connect with you, what's the best way of doing that?
Oh, okay, so there's a couple of options. The best way to come and connect with me is over in my podcast. You can just search Expert Unrivaled, and my podcast will come up. It's got a ton of market-leading tips and episodes on there. And you can also download my market leader guide. So the two best places, podcast or my email list. And all you need to do is just go to my website to download that, www.jen-hall.com. And then you can go on there and download the market leader guide. If you're an email consumer or if you're a listener, come and join me over my podcast.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us today. And to everyone, a Monday love. Do leave your comments in the live. Thank you for those that have been watching, and I will speak to you all soon. Take care.
Thanks
for tuning in. We'd love to know your thoughts and feedback, whether we've helped you master your money or assisted in future-proofing your finances. If you'd like to get in touch or to see further information about our services, please head over to www.rebeccarobertsonevo.co.uk.